Between judges, chapter 6, and I want to make a little introduction here for you. When God called Gideon, that is, selected him, and he became a chosen vessel for God, God wanted him to lead and to liberate Israel. I want to tell you that God took him to be the leader and the liberator of his people in a very dark day in Israel's history. Let's get the hold of this. We're at Judges chapter 6, and we're in verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. You see, when God's people disobey him, then God chastens them. And God was chastening his own people here, and he delivered them into the hand of the Midianites 7 long years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They were being so overcome by the Midianites that they ran from their inheritance. You will find them in the caves and in the dens and in the strongholds in the mountains. It was a tough day for Israel. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites came to help them. And the children of the East were also there, these three lots amalgamated. Even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till they come on to Gaza. They went right down through the whole land, you know. And left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitudes. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now that's the day and hour when God called Gideon and was going to take him into the school and was going to make him one of the great warriors of the nation of Israel. And that's the day he was chosen to liberate and to lead the people of God. Now we're at verse 11, we're at Judges 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat on the nook which was in Ophrah. Now I think I should stop for the young people's sake and talk for a moment about this phrase, an angel of the Lord. One or two of the older translations, it reads like this, and there came the angel, capital T, capital L, the angel of the Lord. And when you see it like that, you know, it's not talking about a shining angel like Gabriel coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary or anything like that. It's a figure that's used for the Lord coming. And there were times when the Lord came down to earth and came in this figure, which is called the angel, the capital T, capital A, the angel of the Lord. Let me be with you sure of that. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Verse 14 says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? No angel commanding and sent. This was the law. And I'm afraid the translators just missed out that little bit. It should have been the angel, cause the whole story tells us. In verse 16, And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So let's get it quite settled that it was the law that came and sat under the oak tree in Ophrah. Let's go back to verse 11. And there came the angel of the Lord, the Lord himself, and sat under the nook which was in Ophrah. Now, we've got to get this Ophrah right. And some of you who are going through the map of Israel these days, and it's a great thing to understand it. And I would think that I know it better than I know the map of Ireland. Maybe that's a sort of shame on me, but nevertheless, I think I do. Now, you'll find it. If you go to the Golan Heights, and you know the map of Israel, and here is Galilee, and you'll find the Jordan going down, you'll find over here on the right wing, looking at the map, the east coast. You will find that the Golan Heights are just a little bit over from the Sea of Galilee. And if you get a detailed map, right in the heart of those mountains is a little place tonight called Ophrah. Now, that's not the one that's here. That's where you would be making a mistake. Unfortunately, there are two Ophrahs on the map of Palestine, if it's a good detailed map. And the one that we have here is found just a little bit south of Samaria and a little bit northwest of Jerusalem. Just in between Jerusalem and Samaria, you will find on a good detailed map the hills of Ephraim. And right in the center of the hills of Ephraim, and I'd be up here, you know, and all this little land, is this place called Ophrah. That's why we're thinking about the season. Verse 11, And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under a nook which was in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abi Ezrite, and his son Gideon fresh wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now that's the first glimpse we get of Gideon. He's a man. And I can tell you now, we'll come to it in a moment, he's a married man at this time. And I can tell you he has a big son. And we'll come to see the son in a moment or two. So I'm guessing, only guessing, you're allowed to mark me wrong when I'm guessing. I'm guessing he might have been about 60 years of age. And you've got to be very careful with the age. You know when it said last week when Moses was come to you, and we would think he was about 18, we found out he was 40. So let's get the hold of this. This fellow might have been round the 60 mark here. So he's under these trees and he's thrashing wheat and he's going to hide it from the Midianites. And I have called that Gideon's misery. What a miserable thing for a big man to be doing. Standing, threshing, just a little bit of wheat just to hide it from the Midian. And the angel of the Lord appeared here just said he was threshing this wheat. Verse 12 says, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. he was nothing of the kind. Did the Lord tell him lies? I can tell you that he had done nothing at all up to this moment. I can tell you that he was never in battle or anything else. Now this has been a debatable thing down through the years. And some of the old scholars to get out of this before us now, they say this was pure sarcasm. That here he was, a big evil-bodied sort of warrior-like man, and he was hiding in the hills. And the Lord was being sarky about his head. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe when God's taking up a fellow and he's going to put him into the first class in school and he's going to knock the edges off him, that God uses sarcasm like that. I wouldn't like to be guilty of that to any of the young preachers here. If you make a mistake, you'll try to help you, but none of that sort of stuff. And I would think that God is better than we are. No, I don't accept that. That's not the way out of that. And then there's another answer that has been tried on. Some of the folks say that this is sound psychology. You know, when a fellow's a bit faint-hearted, or if you have a pain and you're lying on the broad of your back and you're scared, and some of us get scared when we get a pain, you know, as the old doctor comes round and says, "Now listen, you'll be all right in the door, see, and you'll be on your feet and you'll be a mighty man." He's doing a sort of psychological medicine on you. It's to help you, and sometimes it works. And there's nothing wrong with the doctor doing that sort of thing. But I don't think the Lord is doing that. I don't just accept any old thing. Well, what I see is this. You see, all the time, when the Lord elects some fellow or some lass for some job, you know, the Lord knows the end from the beginning all the time. See, each one of us in this meeting tonight, saved by grace, it doesn't make a matter who we are, what our name is, or what qualifications we have, or even if we don't have any. You know, the Lord knows tonight that the finished article will be, I shall be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He's working for, as far as I'm concerned. That's why I'm in the school at all. Because one day I shall be like you. And so will you too. And that would be wonderful. You see, the Lord always knows the end from the beginning. And the Lord looks at this raw recruit who's just about to lift them and put them into the school. And He knows that one day, you, lad, will be a mighty man of honor. And He's calling those things which are not as though they were, and He alone is allowed to do it. I am not allowed to do it because I don't know the end from the beginning. So I think this is what is going on here. No, I think that's what we call God's method. He looked at him and said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Because that's what he actually became. Eventually we shall find out this evening. Now, Gideon talks back, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord," Gideon knew it was the Lord, he wasn't taking him as if it were an angel. "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." You can hear the murmur here. You can hear him saying, "If the Lord be with us, why then?" and prayer be? He's asking questions and he's murmuring before the Lord. Now, what God's message to him? Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Oh, that's a great message, you know. If this is what you really believe, if you really believe I'm able to do the job, and that once upon a time I did it and I did it well, and it's just a frail sin that has put them into the victory now, if you really believe that, go in this thy might. And then he went a little bit further with the message. You see, Gideon tried to get out of this. In verse 15 he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I say this day? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's sons. Then here comes the message again. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. That's the message. You can get the hold of this. You can see Gideon's misery as he hides in the hills. You can see the message of the Lord as he puts him into the school. You can hear the murmur from Gideon, can't you? And God's message is, go in this thy might, and surely I will be with thee. Now, that's him in the class, and I can tell you that he's got the message in the class now. Knows the Lord is sending him. And he knows the Lord will be with him. His daughter graduated out of that class. And he's going to pass into another class. And the other class is just a little bit more difficult for him. Yes. Now, I want you to get this. Just behind that, you know, Gideon was one of these fellows, verse 17, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in my sight, then show me a sign. Now, I don't want to linger with these signs this evening, because they don't come into the classroom work at all. You know, I find young believers today who see that they hear the voice of God, they get the message of God, they're being the sense of God, and then they're like Gideon, they're back looking for signs. And they try to tell me that that's spiritual. And I don't think that's spiritual, I think that's carnal. I think that's walking by sight and not by faith. Did you get that? Since you're carrying on at this nonsense. You see, we've got this to say that the truth requires time all the time. It seems to be bred and born in Jesus. Well, I am no truth. My dear friend, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, you know. See, this book, it is complete now. Every word that God wants to say to me is in that book. And you're not allowed to add any more. And there is not an angel in heaven allowed to add any more. It's all there now. And what is more, you're not allowed to take any away. And all my directions I need will be found in there. That's what I need. You know, it's not sight you want, sight. It's hearing you want. Do you know that faith cometh by hearing? And hearing by the word of God. And you want to hear God speaking to you and directing you. And stop your nonsense about these old times. They belong to you. And they're not in the schoolroom at all. So we're no bothering with them. I'm just doing what the schoolroom did, you know. Now, here's what God did with him. We're in a new classroom now. We're at chapter 6 and we're at verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, took thy fathers down the brook, even the second brook of 7 years old, and threw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. He cut down the grove that is by it. Now the Lord is talking to him in the first class, and he sat up like a good little fellow, and he learned, you're sending me, you'll be with me. Now the Lord doesn't want you to be a worshipper, you know, close your eyes and be nice. Well, he doesn't want you just to be a worker, you know, and I know you have to work for the Lord, but he does want you to be a warrior. And that's what you learn in this second class. You see, the task now is, throw down the altar of Baal. And that's what you call taking off your coat and rolling up your sleeves and throwing it down. That's what the Presbyterian leaders in this land are afraid to do with the World Council of Churches. They're afraid to throw it down. And I wouldn't throw it down. I would sink it into hell. A crowd that can take 42,000 pounds to give to rebels, to shoot missionaries, and it takes the Presbyterian years to make up their mind whether it's right or wrong. That's not throwing it down. That's dusting around it with a feather duster. Standing up for the Lord. There is a strong certain things down, you know. Take your head and raise it high and be a man. This class was never made with mamby-pamby stuff like that. No, I have no intention of being paralyzed like that. This is the fury of God. God says, all right, come on, you're going to be mine. Throw down the altar. You know, God knows everything, doesn't he? Yes? He knows all about babies. You remember he knew of Moses well, about boys and brains and brawn and bullock. Oh, he knew where this old fellow's second bullock was. Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock, of 7 years old. Indeed, God knew about this bullock. This old fellow was rearing this bullock up for the sacrifice for Baal. God says, now listen, I'll tell you what to do. If I want you to do this, throw down the altar and cut down the grove and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. On the height and under the trees. Put it on the top of the rock where they can all see it. And offer and take the second bullet and offer a burnt offering with the root of the grove which thou hast cut down. See, the old Gideon's heart go to the pattern, isn't it? Yeah. Please let go to school with God and make some out of you. Yes. I think you can see the fury, God's fury. I want you to see Gideon's fear, because although he heard the message, and he knew that God was sending him, and he knew that God had promised, I will be with thee. And although he can see how furious God is against this altar of Baal, this is something that we've got to see that's in him. Verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, which proves that they had a little bit of a farm there, because they had 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was. So what's this? Because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And you can see Gideon's fear. You see, the old book is painting the picture perfectly. this man that God has elected to be the leader and the liberator, this man that God took into the classroom and taught, this man is still afraid of things. And the best of God's servants, remember, have been afraid of times. Remember that Elijah was afraid, and you would never have thought he would have been afraid. And remember, God had to come to Paul, or the Lord had to come to Paul in the middle of the night. He said, "Fear not, Paul. Don't be afraid of him, Paul. Stand and speak, no man shall lay a neither has faith." And I suppose all of us have been afraid of him. So you're not human if you have it. God would like to knock a bit of the fear out of you. And I don't think you'll be any use to the Lord unless he knocks a whole lot of it out of you. But the young fellows admitting that he was afraid of his father's household, and he was afraid of the men of the city, and he was afraid to do it in the middle of the day, but fear or no fear, he went and did it by night. And you must say amen to that. That's big enough for to begin with. He's only in the second class anyway. It's not bad for a second class scholar, so he did it. Yes. You know that the leader of the Salvation Army, General Booth, sitting with all the kids at night round the table, reading about Peter getting over the edge of the boat and walking on the water. And then Peter got afraid, you remember that, began to sing. Young Brahma, or I say, the old father led Peter down to laugh. The old man stopped and said, "What are you like? You wouldn't have had the guts to put your leg over the boat." Yeah, you know it? We've all been afraid. And so here we are. God's determined in his fury that it will come down, and Gideon's afraid. Now, here's a lesson that's here. Verse 28, we're at Judges 6, 28. "And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built." Young Philip worked hard all night. And they said, "Wonder not, who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Then the man of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." Now Joash, he was the man that built this altar of Baal, and he worshipped there for many a day. That's why Israel was in trouble, because a lot of these old fellows at home were worshipping idols. But here is the point. Verse 31. "And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." The old fellow was converted that day. I just said it, you young ones, for a minute. You know, there is nothing so infectious as your faith. If you may have a father at home who is against you, and who is going contrary to the ways of God, and he may be as dark at this moment as hell can make him, I'll tell you, you learn to stand on your own feet. And you have faith in God, and your faith will be infectious. And the first convert that Gideon had with his dad. The old man stood up now to be comforted. Say, you boy, take a plea for Baal. He's not able to look after himself in the middle of the night. Let's kill the boys that felt for him. I think there's a great lesson there, isn't there? You can see Gideon's promise. Verse 53 says, therefore on that day he called him Jezebel. And I'll tell you, this word means the contender with Baal. That's what Gideon's name was changed to. He's graduated in the second class now. God helps him, you know. He came down through the class, and when he was put to the test, here he is, he has graduated. Now, said he, his name from that day forward was called Gideon, the contender against Baal. Everybody knew that this young fellow stood up for this man. Oh, he's developing. There is no doubt about it. Developing very much. Now, I'll tell you this. You see, when you begin to stand on your own two feet in the evil day, and having done all to stand, you know, the devil will come back at you. That must have been the devil itself. Verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. See, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east. Now, get the little word all. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together. Went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. It's the valley of Armageddon, you know. What a crowd was in it that day. The devil's going to fix this young fellow if he can. I'll tell you this, if you stand up for God, God will stand up for you. Because this book says, them that honor me, I will honor. And the minute this young fellow gets this name, the contender against Baal, then the whole army of the devil seems to gather in this great big plain, and we're going to have a terrible war. Here's what the next verse says, verse 34. But, it's a blessed but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And that's a mighty phrase there. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. In an old Bible that I have, here's how it reads. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. As if the Spirit of the Lord took Gideon and just wrapped Gideon round himself, clothed himself with Gideon. I'll tell you this, he was filled full of the Spirit of the Lord. He's graduating pretty well, isn't he? And I'll tell you this, when you are filled and filled and filled and filled, and you need to be constantly being filled with the Spirit of God, you know, every little thing you do, though they're only little things, they turn out to be great things. Because watch this, see verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. That's all he did. He just blew a trumpet. I don't know if he ever blew a trumpet before. Well, this day, this young fellow that had never been to war before stood up on the rock and blew a trumpet. And it's just a very ordinary thing to blow a trumpet. Oh, but extraordinary things happened because the Spirit of God was in him. The whole nation jumped to attention. This is Tessie. He blew a trumpet, and that believer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh. He also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. He's sending messengers out to all the tribes, and they're all on the toes now.
Oh, this is a wee fellow, he wasn't counted. No wonder God said, mighty man of valor, God knew what he'd develop into.
Yeah. Have you got the hold of it? Yes, you know. I want you to get this. It's a mighty thing, this. Because he's developed into something. And I want you to see at the end of this chapter, and I don't want to touch it again. He's back to these signs. Gideon said unto God, verse 36, as thou wilt serve this year by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on in the floor. As just as Gideon is back to the signs. I don't want to mix up the Christians, because we're not living in that age. We need to get the plain, clear, unmistakable word of God and go on with it when it is with. God came to me 25 years ago and said, behold, three men seek thee, arise and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them, and I never look for any fleece on the floor. Why would I when I have a word of God like that? We need to believe in it. We need to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing. I hear God say, arise and go with them. Why do you think I'm going to do? Sit still. On me then is faith. I've got God's word. That's the day we're living in. You think you got the hold of this now. And so you see, he has graduated again. And he's come out of his second class. Now, here's another class. We're at chapter 7. Here we go. Who is Gideon? That's his name now, from now on. And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the wall of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with me are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. You see, when he blew the trumpet and was about to march out to meet them in the valley of Jezreel, you can see there were 32,000 people behind him. Quite a nice little army. It's Gideon's army. And any general would be quite pleased if you look back, you know. I have 32,000 down there. My, that would go a long way back. You know what 32,000 people is like. And he must have been really with his head in the air and marching out. God says, look, you really mean it. There's far too many of them. Now, you know, when you go to fight for God and miss God, you have to learn God's arithmetic. It's a funny arithmetic. Because if you took the number of the Amalekites that were here, there were 10 times the number of what was walking behind. Did it? You're missing it up there somewhere. He's probably got 10 to 1. That's really far too many. You know, you're always in danger when you're going to win. God knows the danger. Just in case you might say, well, I did it. I sit and write out these notes and fiddle them through, and I've got to shut my eyes and say, it is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Otherwise, I might get swelled-headed, and I come back to the plain, simple fact
that you're a man learned, an ignorant man, and anything you ever got, you got it from God. Has to get back there. Cut the army down a bit. Thank God. 22,000 of them go home. Therefore, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down onto the water, and I will try them for thee then. And it shall be, that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, this thing shall go with thee. And the thing soever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people. I want you to see how wonderfully resigned he was to the whole thing. You know, if some of us had 32,000 members, and God says, well, we're taking 22,000 off here, and then we're going to cut the other crowd down a long way, we'd have all the arguments of it. Say, Lord, you know, it'll be a bigger show if I just march down the road. God's not listening to us. But Gideon did not. Gideon just said, okay, all right. He's graduated. Grown up, you know. It's a girl, you know, if they're going to go on with the Lord. This fellow was beginning to trust the Lord. Okay, you cut it down whatever way you like. And so he brought down the people onto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down on their knees to drink water. And so all the rest were sent home. And you know, I'll tell you this, God is cutting down the army again, 10,000 marching now, and 9,700 are sent home. Boy, if you have 32,000 in the morning and you're down in 10 minutes to 300, it's a starter. No wonder God called the mighty man of valor. God knew the man. God knew the way he would make him. You see, the people that came to the water and put their hand down and lifted it and drank as a dog drinks a lap. As a dog licks the water, you dog people know. He watches all around him, on the guard all the time. And these people who were watching for the enemy and watching the enemy, these people were mad to get on with the job. But the fellow who can lay down the bow and arrow or the spear and get down on his knees and get his head into the water and doesn't care what's going to happen, it's time he was sent home anyway. A lot of the Christians just play little things. They know in the battle at all. You could send a whole lot of them home. You would never miss them. God knows what he's about. Can't you see this? And this army overthrew these Midianites, completely overthrew them. And it was a wonderful victory. And you know, Gideon came out of this wonderfully. I don't think we should read all about the battle, because really the battle, he took these 300 men to the battle with only trumpets and pitchers and the like. Actually, they left all the weapons at home. Not only was the army brought from 32,000 down to 300, he says, lay the spears down there. Let's take these pitchers and let's take these trumpets and I'll show you what to do. 100 if you go that way and 100 this way, and we'll surround these boys. And when you break these pitchers and throw the light and the old shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon will scare the life out of them. And that's exactly what they did. But that's a gospel story, and it's an old evangelical slant on it, and I don't want to go into that, you see, because that's not in the school book either. I want you to see that he won the day.
And I want you to see that after he won the bull, we're away from chapter 8 now. In verse 22, "And the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son." If I can tell you that he had a son. "Yes, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, and neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Wasn't he growing up all right? I can tell you he has graduated, and this is graduation day. You know, greatness didn't touch this fellow there. You see, he had come through the first class and the second class and the third class, and he had come out victorious, and he had delivered Israel, and now when he's offered the whole country to rule over them as a king, he doesn't want that. He's not after greatness. It's not what he's after. He's just a servant of the Lord doing the Lord's work in the Lord's way. So think we've got to see this. So this is what he says. Verse 24. "And Gideon said unto them, I would desire the request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites." These Midianites and Ishmaelites, they all wore these golden earrings, and now that they were overthrown, you see, Israel had robbed them. And they answered, you know, "We will willingly give them." And they spread the garment, and had cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and coals and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. Now here's the sad bit, "And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went further a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon." You see the last line in the notes, it says, "God blotted his copybook." Well, I never wrote that. Oh, set your thing, when I get it, God help me. I've never seen this pretty smart. What I put on the notes, at least what I hope I put on the notes, is that gold blotted his copybook. So please change it. You see, friends, this is something that we must get the hold of. You see, you can overcome the gold easy enough where the devil is. And you can overcome the generals who need the fight. And you can overcome the greatness that the world would want to give you. But it's so easy for men of God to get taken up with gold. And the devil beats the best of them. And you can get taken up with gold, and gold will block your copybook. Our next week, the softest extraordinary special week, and I assure you, we will make no intimations about Sunday at all, because you're going to need all the time. And we'll maybe only sing one hymn. I see Miss Martin smiling as broad across. She doesn't like these announcements. Yes, there'll be more announcements next week, dear. You'll be all right. Take your tea at night and you'll be okay. And I want to tell you this. We're going to look at David next week. Well, that's taking off a big thing. Because you see, when you come to the life of Abraham, there's about 16 chapters given to Abraham in this book. Our will is about 43 given to David.
for me to lead you through that carefully and let you see how God trained this character should be a week you would never forget. So see you next Tuesday, and we'll be looking at the life of David.